Or with Lori Toy tonight, her initial work published more than 20 years ago. It's a long time as she looked at Earth Changes and Prophecy. We'll be back with Lori in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back with Lori Toy. Lori, in the work Light of Awakening, you write that back in 2000, the center of our galaxy flooded our planet with an illumination. Tell me about that. What happened?
Well, they called it a golden ray. And this golden ray was designed to recalibrate humanity's consciousness and the energies on Earth. And it also would herald the end of the Mayan calendar and usher entrance into the new times that we're now entering into. But primarily, first off, you know, they just had to, you know, describe what is a ray. You know, and they say that it's a force that contains a purpose, and it divides its efforts into two measurable, perceptible powers, which are light and sound. So it has to do with light and sound frequencies and helps our ability to access the fourth dimension. But another concept that they introduced is that it would help to remove what is known as a shroud of darkness. And they describe the shroud of darkness as a cloak of inhibiting beliefs. And these any kind of beliefs that obscure the soul's direct contact with their innate conscious being or conscious immortality or our innate divinity. And the removal of these inhibiting beliefs allows us to instantly recognize the truth in any situation or circumstance. And its removal, of course, is primary to instigating the ascension process, or what is also known as the process of transcension.
Do you find that people throughout the planet are beginning to be tuned into this, or is it just in selected areas?
Well, I think there are some people that are, of course, very sensitive and are completely tuned into it and are aware of it on a daily basis. I think that, you know, it's all a matter of degree, of course. You know, and there are some people who that have, you know, long been involved in spiritual practice and are also being affected by this ramping up of energies, if you will. But what impresses me the most are those people who just out of nowhere, they just can't believe it, and they're in a full-blown spiritual awakening. And I think it's because of the light of awakening, you know, that you know, has been, you know, ensuing for the last 12 years. Of course, this is also changing things as well. You know, this is changing, you know, a lot of our economy. And it's changing, you know, I think it's probably some of the impetus behind the Arab Spring.
Could be.
Yeah. And a lot of, you know, this mantra that so many people are saying that they no longer want to be controlled by the 1%, that it's giving a voice to the 99%.
Now, if I've got this right, the golden cities that are in the United States, you mentioned that there were five of them.
Yes.
Arizona, they're in Illinois, they're in Montana.
Yeah, and there's more across the world. There's 51 total. 51.
Were they always there?
As I understand it, they've always been engendered in some form or another, but they go through what's known as an activation process, and that coincides with this wrapping up of energy as we enter into the new times. You know, that's not to say that we're not going to, you know, see perhaps some earth changes alongside that, because it would only be natural that we'd have to have some changes in order to accept the new energy.
Oh, sure.
That are coming in. So they happen almost side by side.
If you were going to do the I Am America maps today, how different would they be from what you did 20 some years ago?
I have no idea. But I could guess what I think they might be. I think they might resemble more like what Mother Karuna Maya said. I think that they would likely not be so drastic. But it's so hard to say, you know, because they're really, see, the way that I see it, George, they're not my maps. You know, they are a message. They are a spiritual message, and they were entrusted to me, you know, to share with others.
Well, but they seem to be realistic, Lori, if events unfold that are large enough to accomplish that. I mean, geographically, the locations would be affected.
It's been a bit uncanny through the years just to begin to understand, you know, how they've helped in some ways for us to identify how events could possibly go down in worst case scenario. Like, for instance, you know, over 20 some years ago, you know, when we first came out with the America map, scientists had not yet really, they might have, you know, understood it, but they didn't completely understand or discover the Cascadia fault line.
That's right.
You know, which is that major fault line, you know, runs through Seattle underneath the Kingdome or the then Kingdome. And then also, apparently there's another fault line that they've been studying that runs in the St. Lawrence Seaway,
which would,
you know, widen the St. Lawrence River.
Right.
So that's another one. You know, the Madrid Fault, they've always talked about that, but I've often wondered if that Madrid Fault, you know, would also be the impetus, you know, for the widening of the, you know, Mississippi River.
That could be.
Yeah.
Well, back in the 1800s, it flipped the Mississippi to run the other way.
Yeah, I remember reading that. I mean, it's profound to think of those types of anomalies. You know, one prophecy that I think is just so bizarre and strange at the time, and we just couldn't wrap our head around it, was they talked about, you know, how it would be so cold in the northeast of the United States. Also, in the world prophecies, which are, you know, are in the New World Atlas series, it has all the maps in there. They talked about the ice sheeting of Europe and that there'd be like this mini ice age that would happen in Europe. And we just thought that just doesn't make any sense to us then. Well, now it does, you know, as NASA scientists have studied, you know, how the ice caps are melting, that it actually shuts down many of the ocean currents and therefore, you know, causes a lot of Europe to get colder. And in fact, right now, you know, Europe is having one of the coldest winters ever.
Do the Ascended Masters ever talk about the possibility of a nuclear explosion that could also affect some of this?
It's funny that you should mention that, because when I was preparing for this interview, I was putting together all my notes, you know, what I thought would be pertinent, and discovered that they had prophesied a nuclear disaster in Japan.
Oh, my. They were spot on that one.
They really were. And they were also spot on about, they also talked about a mega forest fire in Arizona.
Yep.
Rodeo Chatiskai.
Yep.
You know, but you never know with these things. Are they talking about something else? You know?
Well, yeah, even worse than what we thought. Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah, and they talked about, you know, Europe with lots of monsoons and flooding. I think we've seen some of that.
Well, what will divine destiny do that points of perception and light of awakening did not do? Because they all flow into each other.
Well, what I loved about divine destiny and I'm very excited about it, is they give us a new map. And that is a map, George, of what the world looked like before it does today.
Was it different?
Very different. And it shows the lands of Rama. It shows the lands of Mu. It shows Atlantis. And what America was at that time, which they called the lands of Amaru, which were primarily Toltec culture.
Right. Where was Atlantis?
Well, you got to remember that Atlantis has a provenance of almost 100,000 years.
Okay.
And that there were, you know, at least three phases of its existence. And so at one time it was a large encompassing land. And then in the end, it was a smaller kind of free-floating island, a little smaller than Australia, really where I think Edgar Cayce said it was, in the Atlantic Ocean, you know, in between today where Spain is and Florida. But you can see it on the map, and when that comes out, you know, that map is available in the book.
In our poll, where we ask what would happen if this map look occurs, 53% say that they would move only if water got closer to them. 31% say that they would move inland to a safer area in the near future, just like ready to go. But that's interesting. 53% would stand pat until the water came up to them.
Well, it's fascinating to me because, you know, one of the things that the masters talked about, I believe it was in Light of Awakening, that you know, not that many people would probably even move to the Golden Cities, that they wouldn't be seeking
out safe havens. No, I don't think they would.
Havens. No, no, that their destiny was to stay where they are at.
If you happen to live there, you're lucky, I guess.
Yes, and that's part of your karma or your destiny in this lifetime. The thing for you to learn is the soul. Because, of course, you know, the master teachers embrace the idea of reincarnation, that we live for many different times, and this isn't our only chance, you know, at it. But they did have an interesting prophecy, and they said that, you know, even though there'll be those who will not hear the message, that there will be many who will awaken, you know, in the final hours, in the twilight hours.
Let's take a few calls here for you, Lori. Tampa, Florida, Cindy, welcome to the program. Hi, you're on with Lori Toy, Cindy.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Cindy.
Thank you for taking my call. I kind of wanted to state, well, I had a question and a statement.
Sure.
Statement. Did you and your husband by any chance in the, like, mid to late 80s, were on a PBS station broadcast in Florida with your map?
No, we weren't. No, we weren't. But what was that about?
Well, starting with, like, I'm 51 now. I was about 5, and I had, like, went outside, looked up at the stars, and told God, you know, I changed my mind. I don't want to be here. It's going to be too hard. Well, you can see how much that worked. When I was, like, 12, 13, I started, even before that, I started having dreams. And when I was about 12 or 13, I saw a picture of that map. But in my dream, almost the whole state of Florida was like the Keys. The Keys were totally wiped out, but the most of Florida were like the Keys now, and the same with the West Coast, and then the up towards the middle, you know, it was like almost the country got split in half. And the new West Coast was like, you know, Nevada, Arizona. And then in seventh grade, about the same time, I was told that the poles were going to be shifting and, you know, there was going to be all this stuff coming and, you know, nobody wanted to listen.
One really does. It's so interesting because I meet other people who have seen maps either in dreams or visions, and so impacted by what they, you know, by their experiences of that.
Well, later in my 20s, you know, I saw it again, and then I happened to see this young couple, you know, on TV. That's why I asked about maybe
that's
your husband.
Right.
Because shortly thereafter, when I saw the map again, I'm a very emotional person and I get depressed very easily. So I keep going on and off the spiritual path, if you will. Because it seems
I think
like
we all do.
Well, I just see all this bad stuff. And then when you try to tell somebody, nobody wants to listen. So it's like, well, why am I receiving this? But
I think so many that it's that the message was almost, you know, in the collective consciousness, and it was, if you will, seeping down into those with the eyes to see, the ears to hear. I have an interesting story I'd like to share with
sure,
you.
Sure, go ahead, Lori.
I had a good friend, Donna, and I had the opportunity to meet her a couple of years ago, and this was before the I'm America map had even been published, but she was in a bookstore, and it was at Mount Shasta. She said she walked into the bookstore. She said she saw the I'm America map hanging on a wall. And, of course, the map had not been published, so there's no way it could have been hanging on the wall. And she said it had a lot of gold ink on it and sort of a luminous energy. And she went up to the bookstore owner and asked the owner, could I purchase the map? And the owner said, I'm sorry, that's our only copy, that's it. And so she said, well, I guess that's it. So she left the store, she got in her car, she started to drive away. She But she was driving away. She said, you know what? I'm going to go back. I'm going to see if I can just maybe even get a copy of that map. She went back to try to find the store. The store didn't exist.
Oh, that's a great story.
I know.
Nowhere to be found.
Nowhere to be found.
That is amazing. Next up, let's go to Worcester, Massachusetts. First time caller, Ruth, go ahead.
Oh, God. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Ruth.
Hi, Lori. Were you married to Leonard?
I'm married to Len Toy.
Oh, my God. I knew him over 20 years ago. We met in Bridgehampton, New York. We took a class together. And that brings me to my question about the map. This is the first time I've heard you speak. Are you intimating that you channeled this map and then published it? Because my understanding was I actually saw this map and Leonard had it. And
were you at the Barbara Brennan School?
Yes.
Yes. The map was published in 1989, and I met Len after the map had been published. And at the time, of course, he was attending the Barbara Brennan School of Healing. And I still have the letter that he sent to me at that time, you know, and but he told me that he was so excited when he brought the map to the school, and he only had one copy of it, and people were Xeroxing, you know, the map just so they could share it with other people.
You too. Everybody knows you too.
I guess so.
In some form or fashion. All right, Ruth, thanks for that. Worcester, Massachusetts, a great little hockey area as well. Ray is in Washington, D.C. Ray, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to ask your guest. Hello, Georgia. And
hi.
You do a wonderful job, and your show is getting so popular internationally and all across the country. I wanted to ask the lady, does she believe in pendulum swings? George, you know, you've often mentioned about wherever you go, people are so stressed out,
yep.
And everyone seems to be so overwhelmed, and I definitely agree. I think a lot of it is the 1990s was such a productive decade, and the economy was great. Bill Clinton left a $240 billion surplus and balanced the budget, and all of a sudden the pendulum, we get into the next decade, and everything, I think the difference between the last two decades was so great. I think it's just that has stressed everybody out.
I think you're right.
And then the Mayan calendar and the Earth changes and everything. I guess the question I'm trying to ask your guest, does she believe in the pendulum swings? Like in this decade now, great truths are supposed to be revealed, and it's like we're being stripped down. You've had some other guests on your show that have said that. We're getting back to the basics, and like your guest said before, the 1% now is things are shifting over to the 99%.
Well, I'll tell you what, and Lori, we're going to hit this break, so I want you to answer this when we come back. But we're in a cycle, and this planet has cycles, whether it's physical or emotional cycles, and that's what's been happening. And I think people are indeed going through one right now, and it's a doozy. It is a big one. I'm George Norrie. Stick with us. Lori Toy with us. Her website, iamamerica.com. And you can find that linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We'll be right back with more of your calls. Don't go away. On our next Coast to Coast program, investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe joins us. Among her stories, the strange hum that's occurring all over the planet. What is it? Why are people reporting it? Linda checked in on it, and she'll have a report. When we come back, more with Lori Toy and your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Lori Toy with us. Lori, the last caller talked about this pendulum effect where things just seem to switch and change back and forth. And I thought that, you know, the planet is in a cycle, whether it's Earth changes or emotional. What do you think?
Well, no doubt we're very polarized right now. I mean, you can see that in our political scene especially. But, you know, several years ago, I became very interested in just studying prediction because my work had always been prophecy. I thought, well, I'd like to know how does one make a prediction? So I did a lot of research on the topic, and a book literally fell into my hands that I was very captivated with, which was about the science of Jyotish, which is Hindu Vedic astrology. So I studied it, and for many years, in fact, and began to study different planets and how they would behave. and the effect that these would have, you know, on, you know, economies, on our life, on a daily basis, on us personally, on us at a global level. And right now we are in a time which is sort of a time where we could really break through in terms of our spiritual growth, but then there are also many challenges to overcome. And this is every time that either Jupiter and Saturn, sidereally, now I'm not talking a tropical zodiac, I'm talking the sidereal zodiac. Sidereal zodiac is the actual location of the stars in the sky whenever they are either in opposition to one another or conjunct. And right now, Saturn and Jupiter are in opposition to one another. But one thing that I know is coming up, when we're really going to have a lot of massive changes, again, similar to what we're facing right now, but it's even going to be more intense, is going to be in the year 2020.
Okay.
And it's because of, again, this whole effect of Jupiter and Saturn, plus the nodes, which are considered also to be planets in Vedic astrology, are also going to be affecting things. And I think we'll see Earth changes then. I think that we'll see, again, more changes in our economy. You know, it's that cyclic up and down that we do go through. And that's one thing that I do watch are the large planets.
Why don't we get enlightening things in prophecy? Most of the time, it's doom and gloom.
I think we get both. At least in my experience, it's been both. To me, true prophecy, you know, they'll give you the doom and gloom, but they'll give you, you know, what you can do to ameliorate, you know, to change things. There are a lot of prophecies in the I'm America material that deal with the new times and talk about really kind of fascinating things that are prophesied to happen. For instance, you know, they talk about, you know, as we move into the new times and to a time of more light on earth, that there'll be a whole new generation of souls that will come to earth that will actually help to raise the earth and its vibration. They call them the new children or the indigo children. Some of those children are incarnated now. They talked about, you know, changes just in science itself and how we would, you know, perceive the earth and how it works. They talked about areas on the earth where we actually would learn how to tap into them and learn how to travel interdimensionally through them.
Technologically, where do you think we'll be in 50 years? I mean, at the pace we've been.
Much more advanced in terms of our medicine, definitely. I know one thing that as the galactic light increases, which we are in a small little golden age, you know, the traditional Hindus would call it the golden age of Kali Yuga, you know, the contemporary timing on the yugas, which are really, you know, more of the Sri Lukteswar, who was the teacher of Paramahansa Yogananda, which is called the electric cycle. We are increasing in galactic light. Minimally, we're increasing, but we are increasing. And so as a result, medically, we're going to have longer lifespans.
Okay, that's intriguing.
Yeah,
of course,
it is.
With Social Security running out, I wonder what it's going to be like.
Yeah, we're going to have to live longer because we may have to work longer.
Yeah, that's the thing. But if they can get jobs.
Yes.
Let's go to Montana. Wendy is with us. Go ahead, Wendy. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I had one main question, then one little side question.
All right.
My main question was, what do you see is the role of the modern-day shaman in this whole picture?
I think the shamans are always at work and helping in whatever ways they can.
Okay.
When we had the Rodeo Chetiskay fire here, you know, it was huge. I mean, that was a scary fire for all of us. The ash cloud literally looked like an A-bomb had detonated. My husband and I had the opportunity to go dance with the grandmothers in the forest. Okay. And they had collected this special water from a stream at Mount Shasta.
Okay.
And actually did their dance, and it was very powerful, very emotive, and sure enough, you know, about a week after that, they controlled the fire.
Wow, that's excellent. I just have one other really quick thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
I am I've had the experience of being a medium and stuff myself just recently. But my question is, I keep getting the message of usher in the kingdom.
Usher in the kingdom.
Ushering the kingdom.
What do you think that means?
And you talk about the light, and I think it's about this whole spiritual enfoldment and major change in how we perceive each other and start to finally perceive the divinity in everything.
Absolutely. You know, we are all divine beings having a human experience.
Absolutely. I get you. I'm not exactly sure how this is all going to play out yet, but believe me, I'm working on it. thank you.
Okay, Wendy.
You're welcome.
Thank you indeed, too. December 21st, 2012. Anything going to happen, Lori?
December 21st, 2012, well, that will, of course, be the alignment.
That's the alignment. That's right.
The galactic center. We're already in the process right now. It's a harmonization process. I mean, it really has to do with our will, you know, and can we accept these new higher energies, or are we going to just go out and create more wars because we're just so conflicted? We haven't yet integrated, you know, with the higher side of ourselves. With that innate divinity within.
We've got Danny in Brooklyn, New York, and he's now on Coast to Coast with you. Hi, Danny.
Aloha, George and Lori.
Hello.
Hi, Danny.
I'm calling because I am a shaman, and I love a lot of what you're saying. However, I feel the focus could be shifted just a little bit.
On?
Well, I'd like to remind everyone that there are 7 billion masters in waiting on planet Earth. Every single human being is a manifestation machine. And the change in consciousness, as far as it's been shown to me, is happening at an exponential rate. So that the beautiful wave, you know, the Arab Spring, and the sense of we are one consciousness, which is investing our political process and working on Facebook and the Occupy movement. At the end of the year, I think there will be a critical mass of we are one consciousness that will be flashing over the planet. And Wendy was talking about the kingdom to come. In 2013, heaven on earth really will be manifest on this planet. So I do believe that people need to be cautious about the coming earth changes.
Mm-hmm.
I think people need to be prepared. I wish people who are anxious and worried would get professional help. I hope that they'll deepen and strengthen their relationships with friends and family, you know, so they have something to fall back onto. But I also feel that the focus can be shifted to the fact that we're going to be working together en masse in ways that have not been recorded in human history, because we are 7 billion masters waiting to happen. And when the flashover comes in 2013, we're all going to remember our true potential. And then amazing work will happen, because when we work together en masse, you know, we already know, for instance, scientific research shows that at hospitals where the doctors and the patients and the staff pray together, healing is accelerated.
It works, yeah.
It does.
Well, I feel the focus could be slightly shifted because, yes, shamans around the world are in contact. They are working in the background to help to ameliorate, you know, the physical changes that are occurring. But if people could just keep in mind, do the work, do the spiritual work, get help, talk to friends, listen to programs like this, get out and about, do service work.
Absolutely, charity and helping others.
Right.
I think above all, to know yourself. You probably remember that Hopi prophecy. It was circulating around the internet, oh gosh, maybe over a dozen years ago now, but it says we are the ones we've been waiting for. It's within us.
You know, Lori, with all of this, you know, I still think, you know, with the billions of people on this planet, most of which are light and good people,
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of hate here on this planet.
There is polarization. That's the reality. But that's what we're learning through too. You know, it provides a great flora for us to learn and have depth and have experience.
If I were an extraterrestrial, would you come down here if you were an ET and you saw what was going on?
I don't know.
I'd just keep moving on to the next planet.
But I did hear something, George. I want to add this, that I had heard at one time that many, many souls were clamoring to get onto the Earth right now because of the opportunity for such tremendous growth at this time.
Let's go to Bill in Portland, Oregon. Hey, Bill, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you, George. Sure. Lori, terrific show. But I haven't caught it all, so I was wondering, are the five cities, are they current cities in North America? Or can you name them?
Oh, yes. You know, they have unusual names, but yes, the Golden City in Arizona, New Mexico is Gobian. The Golden City in Illinois and Indiana is called Meltone. There's a Golden City in the South known as Wahani. It's in Georgia and South Carolina. There is another city known as Shalaha. It's primarily in Montana, but in parts of Idaho. And then there is another Golden City in the Colorado area. Some of it crosses over into Nebraska, and it's known as Klamath. Then there are
those the current names?
Those are the names. And in Light of Awakening, I actually was able to take the etymology of the Golden Cities and actually kind of define at a deeper level what they mean. And it's because I believe what the spiritual masters were doing in naming these is they were taking syllables of all different types of languages and unifying them for a singular focus. So in there, I actually broke it all down and so that people could understand why the names are so unusual. But there are 51 Golden Cities total. And it's not, you know, I think there's four or five in Canada, and there's in Central America, South America, and, of course, in Europe, Africa.
Are they on the sites of cities that we would look up on a map now?
Excuse me?
The sites are in your new work, Light of Awakening. They're all there, right?
Yes, they are in the physical. And you can actually go and feel the energy of a golden city. And so, you know, we encourage people to travel to them all the time, just, you know, to get the experience and see what type of spiritual experiences they have. They are 250 miles high and 270 miles across.
The people who live in these cities now, and they're out there, do they experience anything differently than other people?
I've had reports that they do.
Huh.
One thing that was very unusual, of course, you know, when our work first came out, and many people were moving to different golden cities, they noticed that when they first entered golden cities, they got very tired. That they dreamed a lot.
They had
a lot of lucid dreaming. Almost like that they were calibrating their consciousness to prepare themselves to interact with the fourth dimension.
Let's go to Canada, British Columbia area. We're going to Ross. Go ahead, Ross.
Hi, good evening, George and Lori.
Hi, good evening.
Hi, Ross.
Hi, Lori. It's a long time. Used to be Tucson, but I'm glad to hear you and Lynn are doing well.
Doing great.
Gosh, everybody
doing
great. Knows you people, Lori. My gosh.
Well, my question is, I think it's interesting, when I understand that you and Lynn are involved in an actual community development, and I was wondering how that's going and how people could find out more about it.
Well, we're involved in a sustainable community. It is one of the first Golden City communities, Winema, which in Hopi means coming home. They can go to the Winema website. There's a link off of the I'm America site. And to get more information, there's a telephone number they can call. We are a small group of individuals who believe that sustainability can heal the world.
Well,
and we're hoping to incorporate as much sustainable practices into the community. It's a sacred site, by the way. Winema is a sacred site to the Hopi and to the Zuni. And it's just been an honor and a privilege to even, you know, be involved in the project.
Okay, let's go to Earl in Sacramento, California. We'll get you in before the top of the hour. Go ahead, Earl.
Hi, George.
Hey.
It's an honor.
Thank you, sir.
And was it Lori?
Yes, it's Lori.
Lori, I've really enjoyed your conversation. I'm right there with you. A couple things I wanted to bring up. You're talking about lucid dreaming. I've been a dreamer, soul traveler since I was a kid. And it's just something that, you know, came with me in this lifetime. And about a week ago, it's funny, I haven't really tuned into the show in a while, but a week ago, I had this interesting dream where something in the Earth's structure fractured, and there were these geographical upheavals, and there was some holes in the earth where water rushed in, and hundreds of people lost their lives, and basically things turned into this chaotic environment because people were struggling for food and whatnot. Well, what's interesting is because of this economic collapse, I was in construction, and my way of life for 35 years was completely decimated by these banks and these political agendas that have, you know, totally failed. And my wife's dad passed away, so we went down to Phoenix for a couple years, decided to come and live in Grass Valley, California. And since then, we bought 2 10-acre farms where we're starting to practice permaculture but in this dream, what happened was...
Hold on for a second. We got you at the top of the hour, but I'll come back right back with you on Coast to Coast AM.